Welcome back to the Legal Chic podcast. I'm your host, Adam Awadi, and in this episode, I speak to flexible working lawyer Salome Coker, ahead of her appearance at the Living Room Law virtual conference, at which attendees will hear from the lawyers doing things differently. Salome is not only a lawyer for Relink, the Linklaters network of flexible lawyers working on a regular, fixed-term basis, but also a photographer, artist, and small business owner. She looks back at her search for flexibility in a legal career and considers whether more lawyers will follow in her footsteps as firms look to embrace hybrid working in the post-vaccine world. If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to follow us for more and visit our website for the latest legal news, commentary and legal advice. Salome, welcome to the Legal Chic podcast. It's great to have you here. Thank you for joining me. You're going to be speaking at this month's virtual conference, Living Room Law, which will be featuring a series of talks by solicitors and barristers who have found new ways of working. So first things first, walk me through your legal career so far. Where are you now and how did you get there?
Thank you so much. Thanks to Legal Chic for having me on. I'm really excited to speak to you today. So my career so far, right now I'm a contracting lawyer. I've been contracting mainly in-house in financial services since 2017. Before that, I was in private practice. Just kind of did the standard, you know, training contract, qualified, you know, it wasn't too different until I got to about 1 year PQE, 1 year qualified. And I just decided that I wanted to kind of work in a different way and I wanted to kind of explore my options. Took a sabbatical, went traveling and did some other things and then found myself back in the legal world contracting.
For those listeners at home that aren't really familiar with your contracting lawyers, could you perhaps give a little explanation of what that actually means?
Yeah, sure. Well, there's different ways. Contracting lawyers, in many ways, you're doing the same as a lawyer in-house or in private practice. But often you won't be you're not a permanent staff. So you might be on a 12-month contract or a 6-month contract. And that just allows you, gives you a bit of flexibility to do other things when you're out of a contract. So essentially it's the same as far as, you know, whoever you're working for is concerned and your colleagues and things like that, you work there, but it just means that you kind of can walk away when your contract's done.
So how would you describe your typical working day at Relink and how does it compare to more traditional lawyer life?
I currently work with Relink. They're it's like the contracting lawyers platform run by Linklaters. And I've been working with them since 2019, I believe. And so in terms of the day-to-day, it's the same as with in-house lawyers. I am an in-house lawyer working in financial services. So the day-to-day will be the same in terms of starting off the day, looking at emails, you maybe have a few meetings, negotiating contracts. I guess where it differs to maybe private practice is definitely no timesheets, so that helps. And so, you know, you don't have that kind of billable hours and the pressure to bill a certain amount. And days tend to be shorter, typically, you know, 9 to 6, maybe 7 maximum, depending on where you are. And I think because that you're not a permanent staff, so there's a lot of things that you don't really have to do, such as a lot of the, you know, career development, CDP and, you know, things like that. So it kind of frees you up to do more of what you're interested in, or, you know, go home at the end of the day. So that, I think that's the main difference. But as far as the work is concerned, you're doing the same thing.
And talking of work, you're a finance lawyer. So what kind of work do you take on and what have been some of your most memorable cases so far?
So I started off my career, I qualified into capital markets. So I was doing securitizations and I won't bore anyone with what that means, but it's quite complex, structured finance transactions. But then when I started contracting, I moved into the world of derivatives, which is equally as complex and I won't explain that either. But I found that in the market, or you know, for contracting lawyers, there was a big demand for derivatives lawyers, and that's basically what I've been doing right now. So with finance, I wouldn't really say I have cases. They're more kind of transactions. So typically I would negotiate the documentation for banks or for big corporates if they're entering into these finance type of transactions. So it's basically kind of like contract law. You're looking at contracts, drafting them, reviewing them. But when you're in-house compared to when you're private practice, your client is the banking business, or whether you're in a bank or you're in a, you know, big financial institution. So it's a bit different in a sense of how you kind of communicate what are the legal issues are compared to maybe when you're in private practice. So it's very similar, but there are also kind of key differences in how you work. In terms of memorable cases, a lot of them are, I can't really speak about because they're, you know, I'm not at liberty to give details of these transactions, but there have been a few where they've been extremely large, you know, like I'm talking about hundreds of millions of pounds, and the contract is worth hundreds of millions of pounds. And that can be quite daunting at times when you think, wow, I'm responsible for this, you know, this going well. But you always have, you know, lots of support and people on the team with you as well.
What would you say you prefer, in-house work or working directly with a private practice?
I prefer in-house. I feel like you get a bit more responsibility, and I enjoy business. So it's more kind of commercial focused, and you're closer to the actually how the business runs, whether it's a bank or a corporate, you're closer to like the nuts and bolts of how things are put together compared to when you're in private practice. Although the work in private practice is a lot more complex and a lot more detailed. So, you know, there are perks to doing both. And I've contracted both in-house and in private practice since leaving. So yeah, I think everyone should kind of, if you're a contractor, have a bit of both on your CV, because it does help to switch things up a little bit.
Outside of law, you're also a photographer, artist and creative entrepreneur, which explains why you describe yourself as the creative lawyer. Tell me more about this.
So when I left private practice initially, I really kind of felt that I was creative, and just was thinking back to the things I enjoyed like before university and while I was studying, and I really wanted to just explore that a bit more and give myself time, because I went straight from university into, you know, the LPC and then a training contract. So I didn't really have a gap year or anything like that. And I really just wanted to own, you know, both of the aspects of myself, which I felt was, yes, I'm a lawyer, but I'm also other things. So I started kind of really pursuing my creative pursuits. So photography, I paint, I also have a craft business, so I make candles. And I started kind of branding myself as the creative lawyer, almost as a statement to myself that it is possible to do both. At the time, it didn't feel like it was, but it's funny that the moment I started to kind of say it out loud, I found that I was kind of doing both. So right now, as a contract lawyer, I work 4 days a week. I have a day off that I use to, you know, paint, make candles, run my business. And then when I'm not in a contract, so let's say I'm on a contract for 9 months of the year, 3 months that I'm off, I can, you know, put all my energy full time into doing all of the creative things. And I've just found that it makes my life way more enjoyable. And when I am working in law, I don't feel like it's completely consuming me, because I know that I have these interests outside and I have time carved out to really kind of dedicate to them. So I find that putting energy into my creative work has also made me more focused and efficient in my legal career as well, and more intentional with how I you know, develop my career.
The decision to go from being a lawyer at a private practice firm to then becoming a contract lawyer, What was that jump like? Once you realized that actually you wanted to rediscover your creativity and rebuild your creative confidence?
It was kind of a, I wouldn't say it was a direct jump, because I took a year off. Initially, I wanted to do some traveling and just have some time off. And maybe now that I look back on it, maybe I had a bit of burnout as well, from 3 years in private practice and just really just wanting to do anything but that at that moment. So it's when I was having my year off and just having a great time and doing loads of things that I just really started to think about how can I work in a way that suits my personality and suits my interests more. And at the time, contracting wasn't really for junior lawyers. It was typically for, you know, very, like, quite senior. Maybe you had to be 10 years qualified and above. But I kind of noticed that I predicted that there would be a kind of shift in the profession and in the industry. And I just thought, I'll try and get a contracting role and see. And I was quite fortunate that I got one straight out of the gate. And I've been doing that ever since.
And the type of people that become contract lawyers, I mean, your colleagues and your peers and people that you've met along the way, are they like you? Are they also wanting to balance the corporate law and their creativity, or are they contract lawyers for other reasons?
I guess everyone has their different reasons. I do find for some people that are, a lot of people that I've met, colleagues that are also contracting, maybe they are contracting because I had a colleague who was writing a book, and so she just needed, you know, she was a lawyer from a magic circle firm and had this very similar background to me, but just wanted the time to write her book. Some people, it's just, you know, to have a break, travel, childcare, family commitments, just so many different reasons. And whatever reason you have, you just try and find, it's important to just find something that works for you and not feel like you're gonna, you know, kind of ruin your career because you've decided to take some time off and stuff like that. So I think contracting gives you a bit of like comfort and confidence that if there is a gap in your CV, because you have, of course there are going to be gaps in your CV, you can kind of talk about them confidently to say, yeah, I took 3 months off to do XYZ, to go on a hike or whatever it is you do, you know. So I think contracting allows you to move around without it seeming like you're indecisive or something.
If you go to your website, you can find examples of your prints, your paintings and your photography. Some of which is for sale. I've had a look. It's very good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Also on the website, you find out more about, is it Amaki? That's the lifestyle business which you run on the site. But it's a lot, isn't it? It's even though you've changed your working week to give you a bit more flexibility, it's still quite a lot to take on. I mean, so what kind of skills do you need to balance a busy corporate law career and also your creativity?
Wow, yeah, I don't know. I mean, every day I'm learning new things. I think the key thing is not so much as a skill, but just an understanding of what balancing is. And balancing doesn't always mean 50-50. And you have to accept that sometimes something's got to give. So there are times where I really don't have any time or energy to put into, you know, my creative business, or I don't feel inspired to paint or, you know, anything like that, because maybe I'm in a contract and that part of me is, that contract is taking a lot out of me. And so there are times that I won't be, and there are other times that I have, you know, a better balance. So it's just accepting that, you know, life happens and you got to have a bit of give and take. But I will say it is about discipline as well. Like, you have to want to do it and try and commit to it. So for me, taking a day out of my week and saying that is the day that I do X, Y, Z, that's really important. And being disciplined with that. So waking up and not just seeing it as a day off where I can just Netflix binge or something, but say, no, I actually have things to do and I have to be effective because I'm not getting paid for this day, you know? So that's another thing as a contractor. If you don't work, you don't get paid. So you have to really, really want it and be intentional with what you want to do.
Where do you see yourself then in, say, 5 or 10 years? I mean, is partnership, for example, something which you see yourself heading towards, or is there something else?
I haven't completely written off partnership, but it's not, you know, I've been out of private practice for since 2016 now, so it's not something that I've really think about. I would like to make my way to quite a senior position in an in-house, in a bank, so director and above. And I think that would be quite nice. But, you know, my main focus is really just building a creative practice that means that I really don't have to have all my baskets in a legal career. It's great that I do, and I know that I'm blessed and fortunate that to have, to be a lawyer and be able to kind of work with the clients that I work with. But I think the ultimate goal is to be an artist full time if I want to. I don't think I will. I do enjoy being a lawyer, and I think I'm always going to have an aspect that kind of wants to do a bit of both. But the ultimate goal is to have the option to just be a full-time artist if I want to.
You've previously mentioned that your life philosophy is master many things and travel often, an approach which you apply to your career. What does this mean in practice, and how have you adapted your philosophy during the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, so in practice, like when I think of master many things, I started to kind of say that as a mantra to, I guess, to make an excuse for how my personality is. So I'm someone that I like to try lots of things, and I like to, you know, I have all my eggs in many baskets. So 1 minute I'm a photographer and then I'm an artist. And as you can probably tell from my website, I'm juggling a lot of balls, but that's just who I am. And that's what interests me. I really like to try out new hobbies and new experiences and just see whether I like it. And I kind of took that philosophy and just thought, well, I'm just going to own that part of me and really try and be the best at as many things as possible. And being a lawyer was one of those. It was a big part of that. So, so in terms of traveling, well, in this pandemic, it's kind of difficult, and I haven't traveled anywhere in a long time. So in terms of adapting that, it's whenever I can get out, I try and, you know, just have a new experience. So if that's my daily walk, I really try and take a new route every day. It's not always easy and not always possible, but just try and look for new experiences in the seemingly mundane things. And that's where I take my inspiration, and I take that into my artistry and try and express myself there. So I'm always looking for ways that I can kind of create synergies between my legal practice, my creative practice, and just life in general. And I found that once I started to have that philosophy, just life just felt more vibrant and things, you know, yeah, felt more vibrant and alive. And I was able to just be better at all the things that I'm doing.
How important would you say that your sabbatical when you were traveling was to your decision to become a contract lawyer?
So I did my final seat of my training contract in Brazil. And that was kind of like a pivotal thing for me because it was the first time I'd been away from family and living abroad for 6 months, and working abroad was for the first time. And it made me realize that maybe law wasn't really what I wanted to do, or maybe there were other things that I was interested in. But when I did take a sabbatical in 2016, now that I look back on it, it was absolutely pivotal. It was life-changing for me. It was life-changing because it was the first time that I had made a decision really for myself that wasn't based on, you know, my parents saying, you go to university or, you know, anything like that. It was actually me deciding to walk away from a career and build something new. And that took a lot of courage. And I'm thankful for myself then, you know, my younger self for doing it. So yeah, it was so pivotal. It was pivotal because I started contracting, and that gave me a lifestyle that just really complemented, you know, my interests and my personality. And it was important because I put myself first. I put my, you know, mental health first, my physical health first. And I just decided that I would leave even if I didn't have a plan. And that was scary at the time. And a lot of people had a lot of questions and people and concerns and people thinking, you know, I was having a quarter life crisis. Probably was. But, you know, it was just one of those moments where I felt really called to just walk away. And that's powerful, being able to walk away and say, do you know what? I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't think it's this.
As law firms are prepared for the post-vaccine world, it seems as though many will favour a flexible hybrid approach to working, with lawyers split between remote work at home and face-to-face work back in the office. What would this mean for you?
For me, I'm grateful that law firms are finally catching up with, you know, society, because it's been a long time coming and trying to get firms in particular to understand that, you know, having working from home. And I know a lot of banks have already, a few years have already started doing kind of one day remote working and things like that. And you know, it's a shame it took a pandemic to kind of get law firm to see that this was viable. But I think it's great. I think it's great for all of us to have the choice and the option to have work around our life as opposed to the other way. And I guess for me, nothing really changes. Maybe I have more options to stay at home and do that and go in the office, and just more flexibility. But I think for everyone, having more choice is always a good thing.
Do you think that as the legal sector embraces a new flexible approach to working, do you think that we'll see a rise of lawyers who, like you, want to redefine their legal career?
Initially, I want to say yes, but actually what I think will happen is, as the law firms start to essentially offer an alternative model, perhaps kind of being a contractor won't seem as, you know, like a big of change. Because if you're in a firm that actually says, okay, maybe you can do 4 days a week, or maybe you can do 50% working from home, then you probably won't be in a position that I was in 2016, where I just felt overwhelmed and burnt out and had no choice, you know, felt like I had no choice but to walk away. I probably won't have been in that situation if my firm had said, oh, why don't you just try and go down to 3 days a week for now and see how you feel, you know? So in some ways, definitely lawyers will want to redefine their legal career, but hopefully they'll have more options to do that, you know, whether it's for a contracting lawyer platform like Relink, or, you know, if their firm is offering some more flexibility, they can do it within their firm. So I'm hoping that it will give lawyers more options, and also just more confidence that, you know, there are other things in the market that, or other options in the market that could work for them as well.
Have lawyers ever come up to you and said, Salome, I've seen what you've done, you're inspiring, I want to follow in your footsteps, you know, tell me the secret? Has that ever happened to you?
Oh yeah, all the time. I do some coaching when I have some time. It's not easy to always find the time, but I do coach some lawyers in particular about just, you know, redefining their career. And it's always really interesting. I can speak about this for days on end, but I just love the look in people's eyes when they realise that, oh, I have an option, I have a choice. And it can feel really tough when you're, especially when you're in, you know, a law career, it's very prestigious and people will think you're crazy if you try to do anything different, you know? So seeing that kind of gleam in their eyes when they realise that, oh, wow, I can do something else is always great. But yeah, I do speak to a lot of people about their career.
So anybody could be a successful contract lawyer. It's not just a certain kind of lawyer who's very entrepreneurial, very self-starting, very self-driven. Anybody can do it, are you saying?
If you're going to go out into the industry alone, you have to be the things you mentioned. You have to be quite self-started. You have to quite a self-starter. You have to be confident, because you think about it, you're going into a business maybe for 6 months, 12 months, and you really have to hit the ground running. So you have to be confident to, you know, just start things without anyone holding your hand. It is a bit easier if you go through a platform like Relink, because you have the support of the Linklaters network, you have the resources and things like that, which makes it easier. But if you're kind of contracting independently, you know, the business aspect comes into play when you are, for instance, negotiating your day rate, you know, how you're going to be paid, negotiating the terms of your contract. So you have to be an advocate for yourself either way. And I would find that, especially in-house as a contract lawyer, people expect you to know what you're talking about. So it can be quite demanding, and you have to be, yeah, confident in your abilities.
You're also an elected council member of the Law Society. How did you end up with this role, and are you bringing this new approach to legal practice to the Law Society? Are you representing this?
Yeah, so I was elected as a council member in 2019. So the Law Society represents all of the solicitors in England and Wales. And I specifically represent the City of London. So most city firms, I represent the lawyers in most city firms. And the council meets about 5 times a year, and we discuss so many different topics. Understandably, last year, a lot of our time was in relation to COVID and how it affects lawyers and how we practice. So I think I was probably one of the first elected council members that as the contractor. And I made that clear in my first meeting that, yes, I represent the City of London as a whole, but in particular, I represent contracting lawyers. And I want us to have a seat at the table because we're not really thought about right now. So yeah, of course, everything I say or, you know, whenever I present in council, I am thinking, I have that in mind, that how does this affect someone like myself who isn't linked to a firm, who doesn't have the kind of support of you know, a big firm or a big corporate, you know, to kind of protect me, who's advocating for someone like me. And so I actually think that it's an opportunity for the Law Society to be that kind of body for contract lawyers like myself, where you can find the resources that you want in terms of, you can get the training that you want, you had the network there. And I'm hoping that my time on the council kind of makes that clearer for contracting lawyers and freelancers.
And this month's virtual conference, Living Room Law, is a platform which lawyers like yourself, who found new ways of working, can share with the masses. What kind of message do you hope to be sharing?
That you don't have to give up what you love to excel in your job. It's not always easy to balance, you know, the two aspects or however many aspects you have, but it's doable. And I think it's important to just really get clear on what you enjoy and come up with ways that you can do a bit more of it in your life. It can start off very small, and then it can blossom into something bigger. So for me, it started off as when I was in private practice, you know, on the weekends, I would take my camera out and I would take photos, or whenever I'd go on a holiday, I would take photos and I'll have my journal and I'll sketch. And it started off as just very ad hoc and whenever I had the time, up until, and if you fast forward to now, where I have a whole day dedicated to doing those things. So yeah, find a day of the week that you can commit to doing what you love, stick to it and work at it. And it might not be during the week, it could be on the weekend, but just have a day that is, you know, you kind of make sacred for that thing you love. And over time you will see how it develops and you'll see that, oh, okay, I've got a bit of a practice here. And then, yeah, the world's your oyster from there.
And for any aspiring and junior lawyers that are listening, what advice would you give to them that perhaps you wish you would have had back when you were in their position?
Like I just said, it's that you don't have to give up what you love to excel in your job. And so that's kind of like the general theme of it. But if I was to talk to kind of like my younger self, it would just be that it's going to be okay, because it can be so scary when you're young and you just can't see, you just don't have like a roadmap. Or in my case, I didn't have any kind of, I had mentors, but they weren't doing anything the way I was, you know, the way I wanted to do it. And so if you can find someone who's, you know, doing something the way you want to do it, or doing what you want to do, definitely get in contact with them, and just ask for advice. So ask a lot of questions, but know who you are and know what you want to do, because when you know that, it's easier to stay steadfast, and people might not always understand where you're going with it, but just stick to your guns and trust your instincts, and it will always work out.
Salami, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, and we look forward to welcoming you at the Living Room Law Conference. To those that want to find out more about the conference, head over to Legal Cheek. Salami, thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.